You know, I work in healthcare. I'm something called an operating department practitioner, or an ODP in the National Health. And I work as an anaesthetic practitioner, so I work with cancer patients on a daily basis. And as much as I'm a very pragmatic person, you never really think it's going to happen to you. I mean, I don't smoke. I live a healthy lifestyle. I've always been fit. I was a racing cyclist. There's no massive history of cancer in my family. I went for a run one day and came home and just peed lots and lots of blood, and was, you know, slightly shocking. And I called my partner in, and she's a nurse, and kind of said, "That's not right, is it?" And we both agreed that it wasn't right. So went to the doctors, and all of a sudden you're on that journey. And I was 2 years from first symptoms to diagnosis, because it didn't happen again. I didn't hit any of the other markers. I had something called nitrates in my blood, which showed that there might be a low level of infection. So I was put onto antibiotics and told if it happened again to come back. And it didn't happen again for another 16 months. And the next time it happened, I was rather drunk, an NHS leaving do, went for a pee in the dark in a rugby club of your idols, and it just looked dark again. And I knew then that something was wrong, so I went and got checked. And from there, you know, suddenly you're on that roller coaster. And I went and had checkups at the Royal Gwent, and had ultrasound on my kidneys, and I had a ultrasound on my bladder, which showed an anomaly. And then, of course, you go into the rather more unpleasant stages of the checkups of having a camera shoved up your bits. You know, there's only one way into your bladder. And of course, I've done a lot of urology surgery, you know, in my career. And as soon as they put the camera in, I just took one look at it and thought, "Oh, I know what that is." And then, you know, you're straight onto a protocol. I was operated on 10 days later, right in the middle of COVID. So, you know, isolating, and then your life becomes one of being prodded and checked and poked and waiting for pathology samples to come back. And yeah, it's been an interesting ride, I have to say.
And you shared that journey, that personal experience, through blogging.
Yeah, the day I was diagnosed, I had a blog already called Walkabouts, and I started, which was basically about my photography and sort of quirky observations on life. And I started to write about having cancer. And from memory, the first entry was, you know, it has to be somebody, so why not me? And I just did it in a very, very open way. I used lots of sort of humour in it, and you know, sort of fairly sort of graphic descriptions of what was happening to me. And I did it because I wanted some sort of catharsis to help me deal with what I was going through. I mean, I'm fairly in touch with my own emotions anyway, but I wanted something that would help me do that. But you know, like we were talking about before we were on air, middle-aged men, and I'm 54, particularly British men. Middle-aged men are not very good at talking about health issues, particularly issues that involve sticking your legs in the air in front of a room of strangers. We wander around all the time, you know, with jeans on or crossing our legs when we sit down, and you know, all of a sudden that veil is pulled away, and so all of your insecurities and, you know, are there, you know, for all the world to see. You're laid bare. And I thought, if I can just help one other bloke come to terms with that, or one other person who's going through it, who isn't necessarily as equipped as I am to actually deal with that sort of trauma, then it'll be worth doing.
What was the reaction from those men that were going through that?
Yeah, really good, actually. And I've had a friend recently who is a guy who used to live in my road, who's since moved to another area of Wales. And he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he got in touch with me because he'd read my blog and he'd seen me being very open about it. And he wanted to talk about what he was about to go through as well. So, you know, that's just one person that I matched out. And that makes it all worthwhile to me, really. It was done largely from a selfish point of view, because it did help me to actually deal with what I was going through myself. But, you know, I have had good feedback from other people. So I'm just really glad that I was able to actually put it into words and get it out there, really. And of course, that's led on to the project with Cancer Research Wales that I'm about to start as well.
Tell us about that, and it ties in with your love of photography.
Yeah, totally. So as well as being an ODP, I'm also a photographer. I started off in the 80s. My father was a newspaper editor, and you know, I spent a lot of my childhood in newsrooms and newspaper art rooms, you know, learning all the important things things that you learn in life as a 14-year-old by hanging out with press photographers. You know, how to get served in the pub when you're 14 and how to roll your own cigarettes and all, you know, that sort of thing. How to be cynical about the world in general. But I decided I didn't want to do that for a living. I initially thought that I would go on to train as a journalist or a photojournalist. But I went off and did something completely different. But I've always run photography as a sideline. So now I kind of split my time between being a documentary photographer and photojournalist and working for the NHS. But Cancer Research Wales actually saw my blog and they saw my photography in the press because I had quite a lot of success documenting what was going on in the hospital I work in, and got in touch to see if I would do a collaboration with them, which initially was just sort of putting my side of the story across. And then we sort of knocked our heads together and came up with something bigger. And that's to actually start a photographic project looking at people who, like me, don't want to be defined by their diagnosis, really. And, you know, I'm in the really lucky position in that I'm able to communicate that and I'm able to take the photographs because, you know, as a trained photographer, I can do that. But also I was named documentary photographer of the year recently by the Royal Photographic Society. So that's kind of, it's lent a currency to the project as well. And it's very easy for me with, you know, the sort of collaboration of CRW to actually go out there and get this work into the press and get it to people who actually might feel empowered by becoming involved in it as well.